Welcome to Christian Historical Fiction Talk. I'm your host, author Liz Tolsma. It's so good to have you along for this episode because you know if it's happening in the world of Christian historical fiction, we are talking about it right here. This is the place where we speak to authors, where we discuss different topics, and where I get input from you guys about what you think about the trends in the industry. And we also have information on new releases and upcoming releases as well. So a little bit of everything here. And I'm so glad that you've decided to come and join this episode. If you aren't already subscribed to Christian Historical Fiction Talk on your favorite podcasting platform, make sure that you do so so that you don't miss any of these terrific episodes that we have coming up. Also, if you are interested in some of what we've been talking about, if you'd like links to some of the books that perhaps we're going to talk about today, then please visit my website for all of today's show notes, and you can also get caught up with past episodes over there, and my website is liztolsma.com, so be sure to jump over there when you're finished listening to the episode and take a look at everything that I have to offer there. Now, let's move on to today's topic. We're going to not have a guest today, but this is an interesting topic to me, and it's a trend that I have been noticing in my own reading. And my question was, is it something that is just my preference coming through, my bias showing in what I'm reading and the material that I'm reading, or is it truly a trend in the industry? And if it is a trend in the industry, why? And what do you, as readers, think about this trend in the industry? So I went on to the social media platforms for Christian Historical Fiction Talk. I asked on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, is romance dead? That was my question. Meaning, is the straight formulaic romance that was so popular just as Christian historical fiction was really taking off as a genre, is that dead? Do we have those straight, sweet romances anymore, or has the market moved away from that? My personal observations on that is that, yes, the trend is away from the straight romances, and that there are just not as many of those out there as there used to be. That's what flooded the market at the beginning of the Christian fiction genre in general, both contemporary and historical. That's really what you could find. And emphasis was on it being sweet. It was very formulaic. It was the hero and heroine met. They had to meet within a certain time frame, usually the first few pages of the book. They fell in love. There was some obstacle that kept them apart. They overcame that obstacle, and then they lived happily ever after. The book needed to end either with a romance, either with an engagement, or preferably with a wedding. That was the formula that was generally stuck to. And a lot of publishers went with that formula and really ran with it and were very successful with it. And there are still some out. And there are still some out there that you can find, and some very well written ones. I am in no way putting down the formula romance genre, because there are people who enjoy it and it can be very well written. The question is there a move away from that? And from the responses that I garnered from social media and talking to people, the answer is yes. There is a move away from just the straight romance. What my followers, what my followers had to say was that they want the romance written into another story. In other words, the romance, what's going on between the hero and heroine, is not the main focus of the story. It's a big part of the story, perhaps, but there has to be some other storyline. There has to be something else that the characters are striving for, and the romance sort of comes along for the ride, if you will. That's what readers want to see. They want to see some kind of strong storyline, some kind of something else, whether it be some romantic, whether it be some suspense or something else, some war scenes or whatever it be. That's what they want to see the romance mixed in with. So the move, definitely from what my followers on social media are telling me, is the move is away from the straight romance. Please, they want authors to mix this together with something else. And I think that's why romantic suspense is very hot right now. And that's why I think you're seeing World War I and World War II also being very popular, because that is romance mixed with something else, or perhaps something else with a bit of romance mixed in. The emphasis is not on the straight romance. One follower said this: life is messier than a formula, and relationships don't always follow the same pattern, and they're hard. And I agree 100% with that. And I think that it used to be that we would read these formula romances for an escapism. And definitely it was escapism. You were getting away from the real world. You were getting away from the problems of the real world. Yes, there were problems in the book, something keeping the hero and heroine apart they had to overcome. But in general, it was a falling in love and a feel-good type of book. And you always knew that it would end up either with an engagement or a marriage, that the hero and the heroine that you started with at the beginning of the book would always end up together. You knew that happily ever after was coming, and you were just waiting for it. And it was a matter of how are they going to overcome whatever obstacle it was that was in their way. And very often in Christian romance, it might be that one character or the other was not a believer. And that was very often what was keeping them apart. And so how would they overcome that? Or perhaps their parents didn't approve of the match, or whatever it may be. So I think that that commenter was exactly spot on. Life is messier, and people now want a little bit more reality. Not so much reality that authors are going to start putting the pandemic in there. That is one thing that I have been told very clearly, and other author friends that I have known have been told very clearly is that readers are not ready to read about the pandemic. Now, of course, that doesn't apply to historical fiction, but it would apply to time slip or to contemporary. And so that is why in the time slip that I am writing right now, I'm having the contemporary timeline happen in 2018. And I've been very deliberate to mark that as 2018 so that I can sort of ignore the pandemic and all that is going on with it. But there are messy things that happen in our life. We are broken people. All of us have some type of a deep wound in us. Something has happened in our lives that has hurt us and that has shaped who we are. And readers want that reality. They want that reflected. Yes, they still want to be entertained. Yes, they still want a good feeling at the end. I firmly believe I firmly believe that they want that happily ever after when they get to the end of the book. But they are telling publishers, by the number of books that they're buying and by the kind of books they are buying, that they want a little bit more reality in there. I know that this has changed from when I started writing about 20 years ago, and even from when I was first published about 10 years ago. It was a straight romance, keep it sweet, nothing messy, nothing hard, avoid anything like that. And the rules have changed. Hard things are now allowed in Christian historical romance. Difficult subjects are brought up and dealt with. Even in historical books, you can have contemporary issues that are addressed in there, because these are issues that aren't just contemporary in nature. They are human in nature, and they have always been around. So I think that is what readers are looking for now. Also, a little bit kind of shift in even Christian worldview about women and what their role is in life. One commenter wrote, "A woman can be strong, independent, and it doesn't have to be connected to finding a man, falling in love, and getting married. The man no longer needs to save the day so the woman can fall helpless into his arms." I think that's so true. The man doesn't have to be the one saving the day now. Barber Publishing, as you may know, has just started a new series of World War II books called Heroines of World War II. The emphasis is on the heroines. And yes, full disclosure, I am part of that series. And when I wrote that, my instructions for writing it were very specific. The emphasis had to be on the woman being the heroine and what heroic things did the woman do. And so that is very important there, and a very important point. The women no longer have to fall helpless into the men's arms. They don't need that knight in shining armor coming riding on a white horse and whisking them away from all trouble. So I think that is why you see a different role for women in fiction nowadays, even as opposed to 20 years ago, because it's becoming more and more acceptable for women to have a strong voice and to be strong people. They don't need that knight in shining armor. They need that constant, steady support in their life. The commenter goes on to say, "Mutual submission and a challenge the couple meets together." Yes, that's what they want to see in couples, not this mad, "Oh, goodness, I love you so much. You are so handsome. He's just the handsomest." And then he's saying, "Oh, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my whole life. And my heart just stops every time I see her." That's really kind of out the door. Instead, it's a working together of this couple, perhaps to solve some kind of problem. I think that's why romantic suspense is so hot. I think that's why time slip is so hot, because it shows the hero and the heroine as they are perhaps falling in love with each other, but also working together to meet the challenge that the book presents. This commenter does say they do still like the old formula romance as long as the story is redemptive. So there has to be something else to that story, something for them to chew on. I think some very, very good points were made by that commenter. So thank you very much. And then from those who really do love the romance and want the emphasis on the romance, there are those. I'm not saying that you aren't out there, and I'm not saying that if that's what you want, that that's wrong. I'm just saying I see a trend away from it, and you may have a little bit harder time finding books that are straight romances. One commenter said, "The beauty of romance is the loving someone greater than our love for ourselves and seeking what honors them. In this day and age, we are in danger of losing the qualities love embodies: respect, sacrifice, and commitment. Oh, that's beautiful. I think I remember who wrote this. I don't have the comments pulled up on my computer as I'm recording this, but I do believe I remember who wrote this, and I do believe it is an author who wrote this. You can kind of tell that. But I think that's right. And whether it is a straight romance or whether it is a romance that is mixed in with something else, I think that we still, as authors, need to capture the beauty of romance. And readers, you're telling us as authors that that's what you want. You still want the beauty of romance in there. Seeking the good of someone else over our own good, that note of sacrifice in there. And I think you can clearly see that in a lot that's out there, whether it is contemporary or historical, and how it deals with the romance, that there is a great deal of sacrifice. The characters learn that they need to sacrifice for each other and that it's not wrong to do that. And they need to put others' needs ahead of their own. And that you want to see respect between the couple and commitment. So it's not a willy-nilly back and forth, should I do, shouldn't I shouldn't, but maybe I will, and this wishy-washy type of stuff. I believe one commenter did even use those words, wishy-washy. They don't like that wishy-washy, well, I should, but I shouldn't, should I, shouldn't I, back and forth. They don't like that very much. And I think maybe that is a little bit of what turned some readers off to the straight formulaic romances, is the wishy-washiness of the whole thing. And I know as an author who has written some straight formulaic romances, that was something very difficult to try to avoid, was this wishy-washy, oh, I love him so much. I shouldn't be with him, but I love him. And maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe I should not do this, but I love him so much and he's so handsome. It was very hard not to get drawn into that as you're writing a formulaic romance. So I think that they want to see. So I think, readers, what you are telling us and what you are saying that you want is that you want more of a commitment. And I see that as I read, that it is not this hero and heroine meet. They fall in love. There's some kind of obstacle that comes between them and they overcome it and they live happily ever after. I think what we're seeing now is more a gradual development of a romance between two characters as they work out certain situations or certain conflicts or certain problems. And so you see them meeting, you see them getting to know each other, you see them starting to develop feelings for each other, and it is a gradual building. Instead of an up and down type of thing, it's a gradual building. And I think that's what this commenter meant by commitment. They want to see that commitment between characters and not the wishy-washy kind of stuff. And then one other commenter said, and this is an author, she said, nope, romance is not dead. As long as my mind still dreams and my fingers can still fly across the laptop keys. So we have an author out there who definitely loves writing romance, loves reading romance, and has no plans whatsoever in the future of giving up on writing romance. So for those of you who like straight romance like that, you have at least one author out there who is planning on continuing to write straight romance. I know that Jodi Hedlund was someone that was mentioned as being really romantic, especially with her cowboy stories. And I would have to agree with that very much. There are still some, of course, Love Inspired has their whole series of romances, and they are pretty much the straight formula romances. And that is what they want. They have a very strict guideline on how these stories need to be written. It needs to, the viewpoints need to alternate between the hero and the heroine. The hero and the heroine preferably need to meet on page one, no later than page three. And hero and the heroine both have to be on scene for an equal amount of time. So you can't have two-thirds of the book told from the hero's perspective and only one-third from the heroine's, or vice versa. They have to have equal time, and the chapters need to be the same length. And so they have a lot of rules for how they are written. They are that formula that authors need to follow. And yet they are very, very successful with that. They are a subscription service. You can also get their books on Amazon, but they are a subscription service as well. And so they are popular. They have people who are subscribing to this and who are buying it. So that is the very long answer, and I don't think I've given an answer yet as to, is romance dead? Here's my take on it. No, romance is not dead. Definitely not dead. I think most Christian historical fiction readers want to see romance in some way, shape, or form in the book that they are reading. I didn't get anybody commenting that said they didn't want any romance whatsoever in the book. I have seen on some of the Christian fiction Facebook groups that every now and again, somebody will post asking for suggestions for books that don't have any romance or have very, very little romance. But in general, in my dealings with readers and what you have all told me on social media, is that yes, you still want the romance in the book. You love the love. You love that happily ever after at the end of the story. You love knowing that the hero and the heroine will eventually end up together and that everything will be wonderful for them from then on. But in general, not 100%, but in general, you want to see the romance presented differently, wrapped up in a different kind of package, not in a clear box that you can see right into it and know what it is, but wrapped up inside of something else so that you as a reader have to unwrap everything else and get to the romance, so that the romance is a thread that follows along with the story. It's not the main story necessarily, but you definitely want it in there. So I think that answers the question. I hope that answers the question. We probably could sit here and debate for a while whether or not romance is dead, but I think it's clear from what you have answered on social media that you don't believe romance is dead and you don't want romance to be dead. So thank you so much for the feedback, everybody. That was wonderful. That was amazing. I really appreciated all of that. I appreciated the chats that we were able to have over there. I appreciated your input because I don't want to just come on here and talk about things. I like coming on here and discussing what we have discussed with each other and allowing you to have some kind of input into this podcast. So I hope that you found that informative and perhaps learned a thing or two. If you want to comment on this and leave your own comment on whether or not romance is dead, then head over to my website, which is liztolsma.com. You will find today's show notes over there, and then you can also comment on that post, and you can let me know what you think Is romance dead? Do you agree with what I had to say and with what the and with what my followers on social media had to say about romance? Do you still like straight romance, or do you like it wrapped up in a different package? So please head over to liztolsma.com, find this podcast show notes, and let me know what you think. Next week, we will have another author with us coming here to talk about her latest release, and that is Jane Kirkpatrick with her book, The Healing of Natalie Curtis. It really is a unique and a beautiful book. Classically trained pianist and singer Natalie Curtis isolated herself for 5 years after a breakdown just before she was to debut with the New York Philharmonic. Guilt-ridden and songless, Natalie can't seem to recapture the joy music once brought her. In 1902, her brother invites her to join him in the West to search for healing. What she finds are songs she'd never before encountered, the haunting melodies, rhythms, and stories of Native Americans. But their music is under attack. The U.S. government's Code of Offenses prohibits Americans, indigenous people, from singing, dancing, or speaking their own languages, as the powers that be insist on assimilation. Natalie makes it her mission not only to document these songs before they disappear, but to appeal to President Teddy Roosevelt himself. Who is the only man with the power to repeal the unjust law? Will she succeed and step into a new song and a new future? Award-winning author Jane Kirkpatrick weaves yet another lyrical tale based on a true story that will keep readers captivated to the very end. I can attest to that. I did read the book. It's amazing. And the fact that it is based on a real person and the things that she did, she really did do these things, is quite amazing to me. So you are going to definitely want to join us next week for our conversation with Jane Kirkpatrick. That just about does it for today. Thank you once more for joining me. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to listen and the time to share with your reader friends about Christian Historical Fiction Talk. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.